the prophets of our faith. Jesus said to his disciples this day to take up your cross if you want to be my disciples. You have to lose your life for my sake. What do the disciples say? They say this saying is hard. Give us something a little easier, Lord. Talk about the Good Shepherd. Talk about the waiting Father. Talk about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Oh Lord, this is a hard saying. To take up your cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Philip Yancey is a writer, a Christian writer. He's written many, many books, and I have quite a few of them. And he once began to think about the literally hundreds or even thousands of people that he himself has interviewed for different things that he does, for stories, for books, for ideas. And of course, these people were from across the spectrum, he said, of humanity, from all over the place. And he divided them up into two categories. Two categories of people who fascinated him. Some people, a group he called the stars. And then the other group of people he called the servants. The stars were the people who were the icons of our civilization. They were the great television, sports, theater folks, and the political figures, those personality people of our time. The Elizabeth Taylors, the Meryl Streeps, the Michael Jordans, the LeBron Jameses, the Madonnas of our time. And when you say Madonna, we're not talking about a beautiful Mona Lisa picture. We're speaking of that one who has been dressing strange for years, who continues to try to outlive time, who continues on. We see those people, those images that you can think of when those names are mentioned. They bring things to our mind. But also, there's that group called the servants. They were the people who were relief workers in Bangladesh, the PhDs who translated the Bible into obscure languages in South America, and those folks who worked in the inner cities of America. He said he was surprised as he got to know these great TV, movie, and sports personalities at how generally unhappy they were. They had troubled marriages. They had tormented psyches. They had self-doubts. Oh, not all of them, but by and large, a majority of them. You don't have to look far in our world that we live in today to see them on the TV all the time. Something that they're doing is always hitting the news. Something that seems to make it. But you know, you and I live in a world of something called reality TV, which is the most unreal thing there is, where people like to tell everything. They like to show everything. They like to make up a lot of that which is not. Nothing is sacred. Everything seems to be out there. You see, we live in that world, and I wonder why sometimes. Why has our world gotten to this place? Yancey said he was prepared to be inspired by the servants and to admire them. However, what shocked and surprised him was how much he wound up envying them. They had low pay, long hours, no applause. They were those no applause people who just kept getting things done, who gave themselves to the poor, the uneducated. He said, I wound up envying those people. He said he felt that these people, as opposed to the stars, were the truly blessed people in the world. They were the ones who were the lucky ones. They were the ones who were favored. They were the ones who were graced. You see, they were the ones who were so involved in helping and doing and being that they didn't take time to get on the trivial things of some of these other folks. You know, when you and I are serving our Lord with great vigor, we are not worried about the praise and the applause. We are not worried about all the things that others want to do. We're not worried about who sees us. We're just worried about doing something good. We're just serving our Lord, and we're not really worried. You see, that's the thing that happens in our world when we start giving and doing and being. You see, we are the lucky ones. We are the favored ones. We are the ones who have been graced. A mother sees her baby for the very first time, and she looks the baby over from head to toe. And looking over that baby, she finds that something is wrong. There is something that's not quite right, an abnormality, a deficit, a handicap, some kind of trouble. It causes her mind to push the child away or distance herself, or maybe to give the child to someone else, just for a very brief second. But no, instead of that, guess what she does? She draws that child even closer to her heart. She gives herself to that child, and she loses herself for that child. In doing so, in some unexplainable way, what should be drudgery and self-denial, trouble and difficulty becomes an unimaginable source of love and strength and power and insight and meaning and purpose. You know, when we lose ourselves in something that we love and care about so much, when we lose ourselves in serving our Lord, all these things don't matter anymore. We find the most imaginable source of love that we can find. We find the most strength that we've ever had. We find the most power and insight that God's ever given us. We find meaning and purpose in everything that we do. That which we had thought of rejecting becomes the most important part of our life. So many times people reject the Lord. They reject serving. They reject giving of themselves. They reject being vocal. They reject wanting to grow closer. They say, well, you know, I go to church. I come. I sit in a pew once in a while. I'm a member of that church. Lord, don't ask me to do anything else. But hey, once in a while you'll show up when we do something, when we clean up the yards or when we work at a barbecue, you'll show up and do some things. But what about the times when we offer times of Bible study and prayer, whether it be of a daytime, whether it be of a nighttime? We try to offer things that in the daytime so those people that don't like to drive at night can come, those people who are at home can come. Then we have things of a nighttime so that those folks who are at work of a day can come. And guess what? We end up with just two or three here and two or three there and four or five here, maybe eight or nine once in a while, sometimes a dozen. Thank God for those that come. Thank God for those who take a moment to say, yeah, I want to learn. I want to know a little bit more. I want to go a little bit deeper. When we say we're going to go and do something a little bit closer, when we take a retreat, go on some kind of spiritual pilgrimage, no matter what it might be, we say it's going to be this certain time. We have a few people say, I just don't have time. I just don't think that's for me. I've got too much to do. I can't give that up yet. I don't have time. Well, we all have the same amount of time in this world. It's what we do with it, how we learn, how we want. I know some have gotten older and we say, well, you know, I've been there and done that, but I still read my Bible, I still study, and I'm a part of things. And I say, thank the Lord for that, that you're a part, that you're growing, that you're continuing to learn. What about those that don't do anything? What about those that just once in a while fall on your face in prayer when you lost something? When you come to the end of your rope, when you've come to the end of your journey, when you've become hit upside the head with something, when all of a sudden you wake up one morning and something horrible has happened to someone you care about. Is that what it takes to get people involved? Is that what it takes to get people to pray? Is that what it takes to get people to want to know Him better and more? What is it? You know, there's all kinds of things out there. You know, Will Willimon is a Methodist pastor. He used to work at Duke University. He taught there for years. He's been a bishop. He's done all kinds of things. He's traveled all over. And one of our great Methodists here in North Carolina, Belton Joyner, is a wonderful scholar and teacher and pastor. He's a retired guy now. He was an assistant to the bishop for years. He said that Will Willimon has never had an unpublished thought. In other words, Will Willimon is a real good book writer. And I got lots of his stuff. But Will Willimon and Walter Wink, who are two great scholars, have suggested that in the last 300 years of enlightenment that you and I have been a part of this world, we have so given ourselves to reason, so given ourselves to the tangible world, that it has plunged us into some kind of a me, 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 and a I, and a dog-eat-dog world where the material things count more than anything else. And you know, he's right. He is right. How many people do you know that will brave this kind of weather like today? It's raining now, I can hear it. You're thinking, man, it's cold. I'm going to get wet when I get out of here. Gosh, and my umbrella's in the car. My gracious. They will weather this kind of weather. They'll get out in it because they've got tickets to a ball game. And gosh, they'll drive to Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Charlotte. They'll go to Tennessee. They'll go up to Virginia. They'll travel, boy, because they've paid good money for a ticket. And they'll travel. They'll get in their car and they'll take off and go. But yet, on a Sunday morning when you peek out the window, and there might be a little bit of ice crusted, there might be a little bit of rain, you think, I don't want to get wet. Boy, it's more comfortable in here. I just can't do it today. What part of that serving and giving and doing have we forgot about? There are a lot of churches who had to close today because of the weather. I mean, actually up north, a little bit further from us, where it is icy, where the things are encrusted, whether they were people would actually really get hurt if they got out. And Lord, I would never want anybody to hurt themselves. But yet we would weather ourselves. We would get out and do it. Think about the summertime when you're running around doing things and playing ball and running here, there, and everywhere. Boy, you'll play two or three games a week, but on Sunday morning, you'll say, I just don't know if I can do that or not. I'm tired. You know, I had to work last night, or I had to work yesterday and all that, but man, I just can't do it. We spend a whole week at the beach and come back and go, man, I'm too tired. Too tired to get up and go. I've been on vacation. I got to rest. You know, we hear it all. I've heard it all from beginning to the end. You know, I think about people who get out and do, who want to come, who want to be a part. Why do we want to come? Why do we want to be a part? Why do we want to serve? Why do we want to learn a little bit more? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Why do we get upset when somebody stands up and speaks of their faith? Why do we get upset when somebody invites somebody to grow a little bit deeper spiritually? Why do we get upset when we say, you know, I get so tired of hearing people talk about those things because it's something I'm not familiar with, so I really don't care for it. But yet it's drawing somebody closer to a walk with their Lord. That's what we're about, people. We're supposed to be about the transformation of people's hearts and souls, transforming their body, their heart, their soul, their mind, their spirit into loving and serving the Lord. They become a brother and sister truly in Christ, that they are one, that we're all God's children. Yeah, we're all God's children. He created all of us, but have you accepted that fact? Do you believe that? Do you know that for a fact, that you are one of His? Do you know it? Do you believe it? Do you want it to be a part of who you are? You see, our text today from Mark's Gospel suggests another way that you and I can live in this world. Instead of a dog-eat-dog world, whether we have to look out for number one, we don't have to look out for me, 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 and I all the time. I'm looking out for me and my family, and that's all that cares. That's all I worry about. That's all, you know. Well, hey, yo, how selfish is that? Yes, you're supposed to take care of yourself, and yes, you're supposed to take care of your family. But my goodness, there are other people out there that you're supposed to be taking care of. as a brother and sister in Christ. Take care of your soul by getting in touch with real life. What does it profit an individual or a nation or a city or a church? What does it profit a person if he or she gains the whole world but loses his or her soul? What do we gain? What kind of profit do we get if we gain everything in the world but we lose our very soul? There's a lot of things in this world that we have, things that make our life a little easier, things that might even make it more headache. You know, the more things you have, the more stuff you've got to do, the more responsibility you got to do. You got to just, I've got too many things to take care of. I'm too busy doing all that to worry about God. I'm too busy to do all these things to worry about someone else. You know, they'll get it right after a while. I don't have to worry them a whole lot. You know, they'll get it right one of these days. Well, what happens if we gain the whole world and lose our soul? What if we've been responsible for gaining the whole world around us and helping somebody else lose their soul? You know, we're all in this thing together. We are all in it together. And why are we here? That might have should have been my sermon title this morning. What are you doing here? Why are you here? The profits of our faith. What have we profited today? Have we learned anything? Have we grown any closer? Do we know Him any better? Have we done anything this week to help anybody else to grow closer to Him? Or have we done anything this week to obscure somebody, to cause them to stumble, to cause them to fall by our actions, by our words, by our deeds? What have you done? And why are you here? Let us pray. Lord, this day we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your Son, Mark. We thank You, Lord, for the words of His Gospel that ring true today. To the world around us, to His disciples that You have called us all to be, we are Your children. We are Your servants. And Lord, allow us to be truly in tune with You. Allow us, Lord, to truly serve You in all that we do. Allow us, Lord, to look to the things around us to be able to help someone. Allow us to give of ourselves in all that we do. Lord, thank You for giving us the opportunity to serve, to give us the opportunity to give, to be a part of that. Always, Lord, You put people in our path. Always, Lord, You allow us to, if we can't go, we can pick up a phone. Whether we call them, whether we text them, whatever it is, in this world we live in, we've got so many ways of communicating that we can let someone know that we are thinking about them, that we are praying for them, that we are lifting them up. Allow us, Lord, to not let a day go by that we don't put You first in our lives. To allow us, Lord, to be able to show ourselves true before You. Because it's that relationship that we have with You that matters. It's that personal faith that grows stronger and stronger. But you see, when we know You as our Lord and Savior, that personal faith grows stronger and we share it with this world. So, Lord, this day let our lights so shine in this world that we become that beacon of hope and faith to tell others about You. Be with us now. Prepare our hearts and our minds for the time that is at hand. For it's in Your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 2062, Out of the Faith We Sing, The Lily of the Valley. Know that our altar is always open with the Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star. Would you stand as we sing?